prophet Isaiah, reading from the 65th chapter, verses 17 through 25. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, speak to us now. For we, your children, have gathered here this morning with the hope, the expectation, and the faith that we shall hear the word of the Lord proclaimed in our midst. But that can only happen, O God, if you come upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that by your grace and by your grace alone, the words which are read and shared at this time would be for us this day your living word. For you are the living God. Speak to us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 shall be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Context is always important. Whenever we come to a passage of Scripture, it is vital that we understand the setting, that we have some knowledge of to whom the words were being spoken and written down for the particular situation that the people were facing. And in that regard, our reading today from the prophet Isaiah comes from what scholars oftentimes call Third Isaiah. We understand that Isaiah was not composed in all likelihood by one person. Almost certainly it was not. But there were at least three separate composers who helped shape this book of the Bible. And Third Isaiah is writing to the people of Jerusalem after they have returned from the Babylonian exile. While it is impossible to date precisely, we are pretty confident that the temple, the second temple, has been rebuilt. They are no longer captive in a foreign land. The exile has come to an end. And yet, there is much heartache and grumbling amongst the people. A lot of the folks that were carried off into exile chose not to come back. And they were missed by family, friends. The throne of David has not been restored in its glory and majesty. There is still chaos and uncertainty in the world. Sound familiar? The context is important to understand just how significant this vision that Isaiah presents to the people. If we are honest with ourselves, we could acknowledge that we have never had it so good, at least here in this country. We live in the wealthiest nation that this world has ever seen. We live in a world where advances in technology have in some ways simplified life, made it so much easier. We live in a world where a diagnosis of cancer is not an automatic death sentence. Right? I mean, how many of you want to go back to the days where, as my mother would say, she picked cotton and got 3 cents a pound for picking it? How many of you want to unplug your washer and dryer and go back to the days of wringing the washing and hanging the clothes on the line outside? How many of you want to go back to the days where you had to shell the purple hull peas and you had fingers that were purple for a couple of days at least? We have it pretty good if we're honest with ourselves. And yet, Lynn and Beth and Ann are in San Diego this weekend participating in the Susan Komen Walk, seeking to find a cure for breast cancer. Because as many advances as we have made, we're not there yet, are we? There are still far too many that die from cancer. Would we not live and want for the day when St. Jude's Hospital wasn't even necessary? Can we imagine or dream of a day when Arlington National Cemetery truly is never used again to inter the remains of those who died in battle? That's the situation in some ways that Isaiah is trying to address. And he paints for us a vision of a world that, as good as we have it here, the world he paints is so much better. And I do think it is vitally important to make this point. He is not talking about pie in the sky, life after we die. He is talking about this world upon which you and I live. Reminder, we've already said the words this morning in the prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so he gives the people of Jerusalem and he gives us in the world today a vision of the possibility of what the world can be like. Of what the world can be like as we sang in the opening song, when we build our lives on God's love. We have to be honest, though. It doesn't come naturally. It is hard work. As one commentator said, just ask the wolf and the lamb. Wonder what they would think about Isaiah's vision. Such a coming together, a feeding together, can only happen with God's grace being the driving force for change. It's a beautiful, peaceful image. But we also know how hard it is. So the commentator said, let's start with the wolf. Because this is a game changer, right? Can you even begin to imagine the confusion the wolf must have encountered? When he began to think that just maybe, that scent of a lamb that drifted on the wind doesn't mean dinner is ready. That the lamb wasn't going to be the main course. What would the wolf's mother think? What's going to be for dinner tonight if we're eating with the lamb and not eating the lamb? And what about that lamb? Raised from the very beginning to fear the wolf, to keep as much distance as possible between it and the predator. Can you imagine the ridicule the lamb would face if it said, hey, I think we can get along with the wolf and play together? Ridiculous, right? It's crazy. And yet, the image holds within its offering the proclamation of the truth, the good news of God's power and grace to transform even our most ingrained ways of being. But having the vision cast before us does not make it a reality. It does not happen right away. We still live in a world that is plagued with violence and hatred and division. But we are called, as followers of the Prince of Peace, as disciples of a crucified yet risen Savior, to follow the way of peace that he laid out. A place where all are invited to live and move and have their being free of fear, free of injustice, free of oppression. A place where all are invited to live and move and have their being in the fullness of life and joy and vitality and delight. A place where all can flourish where all can enjoy the work of their hands, where all can dwell in homes and delight in the fruits of the vineyard, where all can live together in peace and wholeness. That's the vision that God presents through Isaiah. It will take work, though. Like all good things, they rarely just happen, right? We must strive for it. We must work hard at it together with our sisters and brothers. We must not ever make the mistake of throwing up our hands and saying we can't do better. We'll just have to wait till we get to heaven. Because God wants this vision of the wolf and the lamb here, now. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said the point of Christian faith is what he calls God's dream. That God is working in this world toward a day when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nations shall not learn war anymore. And when we will see the end of cruelty and suffering in the world. This is the dream of a whole new world where all people and even all nature are filled with God's love, God's freedom, God's joy, God's life, God's abundance. It may be difficult for us to imagine such a world, but if we never imagine it, we will never strive for it. It is the perfecting of creation that we seek, empowered by God's grace. Pope Leo, a church that sets no limits to love, that knows no enemies to fight, but only men and women and children to love, is the church that the world needs today. May we be a part of that church that the world desperately needs today. A church that dares to cast a vision of a new creation. A creation in Jesus the Christ that calls us to hope for more than we have yet seen. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And therein lies the hope of creation. May we, as disciples of Jesus, do all that we can to make it so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.